Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And today we are finding out exactly what's happening because Paul is very confused right now.
That's right.
He's currently being...
given a physical, basically.
Yeah, I guess that's space the best physical. A space touch the side of your head and know what's going on with everything in your body physicals.
UA's by, doing a cold read on him.
Dr. UA Lewis in the news.
UA Lewis in the news.
We see that Dr. UA is not only fluent in what I would assume is translated Gallic.
Fluent in English,
Mandarin.
Quote-unquote English, yeah.
But Mandarin has also somehow managed to exist for 30,000 plus years as well.
It's true.
Because both he and Paul are talking to each other in Mandarin.
What other languages survive?
I had that note in here. I was like, I'm glad to see that, you know, it's survived this long as well, but... it's got to have some changes, I would assume.
Sure, sure. No, I do not speak Mandarin.
No, neither do I. I'm going off of the in-movie subtitles here.
Right. It would be interesting if someone who does speak Mandarin, do the subtitles match to what they're saying?
It's very hushed. So, like, I don't even know if you'd be able to fully hear it.
Sure.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. If you know, let us know.
Let us know.
But
at the Dune Minute
podcast. UA says the Bene Gesserit say they serve the greater good, but meaning no disrespect to your lady mother, they also serve their own designs.
Right.
Go carefully.
So
this UA is also looking kind of stressed. Everyone's stressed out right now. Not as much as Jessica.
He looks concerned. I don't think he looks stressed. I think he's just like, I don't know why she got me up to do this job, but I mean, I'm here. Let's do it. So part of the graduating the Souk School of Medicine, like Dr. UA did, is that they can physically do no harm. So they've taken that Hippocratic Oath to the next level.
Sure.
They can physically do no harm to the people they are under contract with.
Gotcha.
They serve them. They are physicians. They are just like, they are there to just make sure that they are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's stressed really at all because this is just his job.
Sure.
He's just he might be a little confused as to why he's doing it in a dark hallway, at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever time.
Middle of the night or whatever. And yeah, it's not just like Paul woke up with a stomach ache either. And
right. It's clearly some kind of importance that, that he's semi aware of. It seems like he's like, I don't know exactly what's going on. But
it's not great.
Yeah, he's like, but just you know who your mom works for, so you know, just be careful.
Yeah.
I do want to point out that this is information that we get in the books. We do not get here really in this movie much at all. But Dr. Yue's wife, Wana, mm-hmm. who will play a part later in the movie, she is a sister of the Bene Gesserit herself.
Okay.
This gives a little bit of context into why Yue knows the Bene Gesserit serve their own plans or whatever he says. Because he knows.
I figured that was just like kind of not extremely common knowledge, but common enough amongst the people that work in these larger houses and stuff.
Yeah, I think they're making it out to be that way here.
Okay.
And I'm sure it is to a degree. But I think Yue is a little more clued in to some of these, you know, ulterior motives that the Bene Gesserit have.
Sure.
Because of his relationship with his wife and what she's told him.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's important to note, maybe not important, but I'm going to note it anyways. This scene that we're getting right here, just for the movie, does not exist in the books. In the books, the book itself actually just opens up to this scene of Jessica waking up Paul. And them going into you know, doing this whole, this rigmarole that they're going through right now.
How is UA introduced in the books? Is that not until they're on Arrakis?
No, he's one of the characters that's introduced pretty early on. But like they mention him like, oh yeah, Paul's got to go see Dr. UA now for his checkup. And then we get some backstory into UA and we get to hear his internal thoughts in that chapter that he's the main character of and
whatnot. Got it.
So we do get to all these same points just in a different way. And we do learn a little bit more about, UA's wife in the book, that we don't get to learn till later on in the movie.
Gotcha. So after UA finishes his physical of Paul, he tells Jessica that Paul's heart is as strong as ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Jessica for the first time do her little hand signal sign language.
Yes. So the Atreides battle language.
I was going to ask,
oh yeah,
what's going on with that? Because...
So this is not something unique to the Atreides. And most great houses have their own kind of... like battle language or sign language or something that they can do when they are in battle or under stressful situations where maybe vocalization is not something they can achieve at the moment.
Or worried about being listened to whatever.
Exactly. They're all a little bit different.
Okay.
This particular one for the Atreides was actually developed by Thufir Hawat. That's part of what he does as a Mentat is he developed this language that they all use.
We love Thufir.
We love Thufir. We'll see this again. This is the first like little explanation of it. It seems like they all know, at least anyone who's like close to the inner circle, knows this language. I'll take that a step further. I'll say that all the soldiers of the Atreides know this battle language.
It would make sense that you would want to communicate to
to
anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And Jessica is communicating to
UA.
UA.
Yeah.
So clearly he knows this as well. So.
Yep. But it was cool. I was glad they included that in the movie. I was wondering if that would make an appearance and because it plays a big part, you know, in the story for these like secret communications kind of things. And yeah, they did a good job of it.
Tell no one of this.
Yep.
And then 23 minutes and 30 seconds in, we see the bull.
We do.
For a brief moment. But this is the bull that gored the old Duke.
So I remember you talking about this. I don't think those are bloodstains on the horns. I think those are just the way the horns are colored because they're both colored in that like black to white, like ombre kind of thing.
Look, I was just going off of what was in the entry in the wiki at that point.
Fair enough. But
wikis are, you know, user editable, so I'm not taking it as gospel or anything. But.
Well, I made it like when we saw the bull's head again right now, I made a point to look at both of them. I'm like, surely he wouldn't have gored him twice. Could be. Who knows? But yes, we get the bull hanging over the hallway in a very ominous manner.
Yes.
I'm sure it looks better in the daylight. At nighttime,
it's kind of terrifying. It's a little spooky. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. But we only see it for a couple seconds.
Yep.
And we see Jessica and Paul approaching another closed door. Jessica still stressed as hell, but she turns to Paul. She says Paul and then more battle language, signing to him to remember his training.
Now, this is interesting.
Which is so ominous.
It is. What training is she talking about? Because Paul's been trained in a bunch of shit.
Yep.
He's been trained in ways of Bene Gesserit. Clearly, we've seen him use the voice.
Mm-hmm. He tried. He's getting there.
Yeah.
He's been trained with Duncan Idaho and... Mm-hmm. Gurney Halleck in the ways of fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and this, it's not shown in the movie really, but he's also had, you know, in the books, he's undergone like Mentat training too.
Mm-hmm.
So he can do that little cool, like flick back things with his eyes to think real hard.
He's real good at calculating tips.
Yeah. you know, we're benefiting from a little bit of foresight here in these minutes, but what if he chose the wrong training to remember? Anyways, we'll leave it on that.
Yep.
She should have been specific. That's all I'm saying is, Jessica, you're doing a sign language thing. You can spare one more word.
I don't know. Time's money.
You know, I think one more word would have been just fine. So be specific.
Yeah.
And let him know exactly what training to remember.
We see the door open and we see the inside of what appears to be a library.
Yep.
Or at least some kind of study. There's a lot of books on shelves.
Sure.
And we see one person sitting in the middle of the room, a veiled person who we know is Gaius Helen Moheim, because
Moheim. Give me Moheim.
Gaius Helen Moheim. because Jessica's already told us about her.
Yep.
And that is where our minute ends.
That's it.
A spooky minute.
This movie, and it's happened so many times where I'm starting to think it's intentional now. At the beginning of every minute and the end of every minute, except for maybe one, has been a kind of a clean cut in between dialogue lines. It might be in the middle of a scene, but it's at least a clean cut of dialogue lines. I think the only one that we've had
was when Rabin was fucking yelling and
screaming. And then that's it. but like, they're making our jobs a little bit easier, honestly.
Look, I'm not complaining.
I'm going to knock on wood and hope that continues. But that's where the minute ends. And that is where my notes end. Anything else on this minute?
Not much for this minute.
All right, cool. Well, let's see what this spooky lady in the middle of the room wants to talk about on tomorrow's episode of the Dune Minute.
That's a real spooky lady.
And if you want to reach out to us, we are on Instagram as at the Dune Minute.
We are on Twitter at Dune Minute, and you can email us duneminute@gmail.com.
All right, cool. We'll see you tomorrow.
Awesome. See you.
Bye.